A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dude, the amount of Amazon boxes in our house right now is at an all-time high. We got a quarter of the freaking rainforest sitting in our mud room. Can't leave, so we're just shopping online for Christmas. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I miss going shopping.
I do.
Because when you shop online, like the week before Christmas, you're like, man, I'm playing with fire here. I don't know if this stuff's going to get here in time. What if it doesn't get here? Then you do the thing where you print out a picture of the thing you bought the person. And you say, hey, listen. It didn't get here in time, but here's a picture of what the thing is that I got you looks like. But when you go shopping at a mall, you take it home. It's ready to go. And then usually they got a guy there that'll wrap it for you. Now I gotta do my own wrapping? Kidding me. I can't rap. I'm a white guy. That was a rap music joke. Merry Christmas, everyone out there. Hope everyone's doing good. I think we're right at the end, guys. I really do. This vaccine's coming out. I'm excited. Immediately inject me right into my freaking face. I don't know, wherever you got to inject. You inject it into my eyeball. Give me the vaccine. I need to get back to life. I got to go shopping, but also this other stuff. I got to go work, you know. But I think we're right at the end, and I'm excited. 2020's going to end. We're just going to put it behind us. We're going to vaccine up, I hope, and then back to work. Got to. That's my Christmas wish. Get back to work. Also get back to bars. I want to black out at a bar or on an Uber. I want to go to a concert and scream at the top of my lungs the wrong lyrics to the song. But in the meantime, we're going to podcast. In the meantime, we're going to hang out together. In the meantime, we're going to talk to really cool people and, you know, do the damn thing. All right, let's roll it. Lego.
This is the Wells Cast with Wells Adams.
What?
An iHeartRadio podcast.
It is. Welcome into the Wells Cast. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that kind of stuff. Happy Hanukkah, Merry Kwanzaa. Are there other, there are probably other holidays I don't even know about. But anyways, hope everyone's doing well. Hope you're staying safe. I don't get all preachy when it comes to this corona thing. Listen, do what you got to do. We're going to do what we got to do. But here's my thing. We're in like the final days, I feel like, you know? We're in the ninth inning. The game's almost over. We're in the fourth quarter. We're up by 3. It's our ball. Let's just kneel, okay? Don't get crazy and throw a screen pass and get it picked for 6. That's all I'm saying. We're right at the end. So just stay safe and then get that vaccine. Or don't get the vaccine. Do whatever you want to do. I don't know. But we're right at the end. So just everyone be safe. That's what I'm saying. By the way, there are then many perks to being engaged to an amazingly talented, famous actress. I will be the first to admit it. But there are drawbacks. And so if you're thinking about marrying a famous actress, I just want to just put this in your ear real quick. Good luck getting them any sort of gift ever. Because they got everything. They got everything. And they're also sent everything. I don't know what to do. I do not know what to do at this point. So yeah. But other than that, things are great. Very excited about today's show, by the way. I feel like Andy Cohen today. Listen, the Real Housewives have just taken over. There's one in every city. But the Real Housewives of Dallas really hits home for me because I have a sister and a brother who live in Dallas and, of course, talk to me about this show all the time. So when they found out that I was having my guest on today, they kind of freaked out. Real Housewives of Dallas is returning to Bravo on January 5th, 9, 8 Central. And today on the Wellscast, we're going to have the voice of reason, which is what I love. I was the voice of reason on The Bachelorette. Do you guys remember? There's a soundbite of me saying, let me be the voice of reason here. And this wonderful guest today is also the voice of reason on Real Housewives. So we're kindred spirits. We're also people that just probably just don't like drama, which is why, well, I got kicked off that show, you know? Other similarities, though. She graduated with a degree in psychology. And now I am not a psychologist by any means, but I do play kind of a psychologist on TV. Bartender / advice giver. We're kindred spirits, and I'm excited about this. So coming up on the Wellscast today from the Real Housewives of Dallas, it's Stephanie Holman. This is one show you do not want to miss.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Wellscast. I'm very excited about today's guest, and I'll tell you why. Because I have a brother and a sister who both live in the Big D. And today on the show, we have the star of Real Housewives of Dallas, Stephanie Holman, on the show. Stephanie, how are you doing?
I am good. I'm so happy to be here. I have to be honest. I watched you on The Bachelor back in the day, and you seem really, really nice. So whenever I saw this, I was like, oh, good. He's he seems like a good person. So I'm excited to be here.
Well, thank you. I'm so glad that you got to see me get dumped in Argentina in 2018. Do you watch Paradise ever?
I have in the past. I have not recently, but Paradise is, I enjoy it. It's kind of a little bit of a more of a hot mess. So
yeah,
I enjoy it. It's entertaining, but you know, it's gotta be hard for the people on there. I always think it's gotta be really, really hard to have to go on and have that expectation where you kind of have to try to find love to stay on an island. So I can't imagine.
Okay, first of all, Stephanie, do not judge shows that are full of hot messes, okay? Because pot meat kettle, number one. Number two, you know, I don't know if you know, but I play the bartender now on Paradise. And aside from serving up like crap drinks, I have to be I have to be like the resident therapist. That's kind of your role on Real Housewives.
Yes. You know, before I did Housewives, I was in the social work field. So I have a little bit of a past helping people, but it's very, very different. It's kind of de-escalating a lot of situations, which I'm sure you're very, very aware of as the bartender. But no, it's, I mean, I'm never going to flip a table. I'm never going to yell and scream in someone's face. So I'm grateful that I'm able to be myself, I guess.
Yeah, I have to walk the fine line because I'm serving something that's escalating. Tequila is like throwing gasoline on the fire. And then I have to be the person that like also puts it out. It's tough. Whereas I feel like I want your role where it's just like I just de-escalate things instead of like stir the pot and then also have to unstir the pot. It's so funny because I was watching a clip of your guys' show and I there was a clip of you saying like, can I be the voice of reason here? There was a moment on Bachelorette where the villain of my season, whose name is Chad, he was like going off and everyone was going crazy. And I was like, can I just be the voice of reason here? And so I thought it was really funny. I was like, I feel like I'm meeting the Real Housewives version of me right now on the podcast, which is very nice.
I love it. No, it's, you know, they have to have someone, right? They have to have us occasionally on the shows like that.
Yeah.
But no, it's been fun. I never thought I'd be here 5 years later because I thought that I wasn't not really good at conflict. So I'm very grateful to, I guess, still be here. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm amazed that producers have kept such a normal person on the show for this long.
It's crazy.
Yeah. So season five, I mean, like this thing's been going on for a while. I mean, are you surprised of its success?
You know, I am. I remember season one, not knowing what I was getting myself into and crying every day. I don't know if you went through that your first year because people can be so, so mean if they don't know you on social media. I had no idea how evil people can truly be. I'm literally shocked. I thought maybe season three I would stick around, but I'm absolutely shocked that I'm here 5 seasons later. But it's been fun. You learn a lot about yourself on a reality show.
I'm now kind of in a different role, but I think there is good and bad that comes out of being on reality TV because it definitely forces you to be really self-aware of who you are. Because generally what happens is if you don't like the way you look on TV, it's not because they've really edited you to be a bad person. It's because you in your mind perceive yourself different. I think that you are very self-aware and you come across really wonderful and really compassionate and just kind of normal. But like, I wonder when you look back on the show and talk to your castmates, like, I guess like Leanne may be a good example of this. Like, I wonder if she's learning something about herself by looking bad on TV.
I definitely think 100%, I think she would say yes. I mean, every year you kind of learn more about yourself. I think for Leanne, maybe she's learned to rein it in and pull it back a little bit to where a lot of times with me, I will watch the show and I will be upset with myself that I didn't follow my gut and say something or do more because a lot of times I would rather keep the peace instead of be honest with my, you know, with how I'm feeling. And there's a fine line because you can hurt a lot of people if you don't really deliver things in the right way. So I would say you kind of have regret both ways. I feel like I've had regret not saying more, maybe holding back, letting people walk all over me when I should have stood up for myself more. And other people probably complete opposite. You know, they wish they would have held back a little bit more.
I've found, especially when you're doing a television show where there's cameras and it's just like, you know, drama is what's selling, that being courageous is actually the most courageous thing you can do. Like to actually stick your neck out and be like, hey, you shouldn't say that or whatever. Like actually standing your ground is really, really hard to do. And I find that the same thing that happens to me, especially when I'm behind the bar, I'm like, I really should have stopped something there. That wasn't right, like what they were saying. There's also like the producer in you who's like, ooh, this is good. I'm going to sit back and watch it.
No, people love the drama. So it's kind of, it's people love and hate it. They complain if there's too much, but then they love it. And you're right, it's a show. So if you always are, you know, trying to get in the middle of everything, it doesn't make as good of a TV show. So the producers will not be happy. But yeah, it's a fine line. And I think people don't get it unless you've lived it. Now, I watch every reality show very differently. Do you do that? Every reality show, I watch it very differently. So
yeah,
it's just different.
It's kind of sad because once you have seen how the sausage is made, it doesn't taste as good, I guess, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It's like they pull back the curtain and you know too much and you watch it and you're like, oh, that's what actually happened. And then this, yeah, it kind of ruins some of the magic. It's a cool ride. I think at the end of the day, you always regret the things you don't do and not, you know, the chances that you take. And if it's a painful, people remember it for like 2 weeks and then they're on to somebody else. So it's temporary pain when there's pain.
So season 5, what can fans expect?
I mean, there's obviously going to be drama, which people love. We have 2 new girls, 1 full-time, 1 friend of. And I think people are really going to, sorry, that's my husband coming in.
Hey, Travis.
But I think people are really going to love the personal stories that the girls have. We have some really great personal stories, which are my favorite because that's the heart of who a person is. And I guess the drama is icing on the cake. It's the first year I've done the show where I've actually had fun, which is nice because it's been 5 years. You aren't holding your breath so much. And so I think that'll be a little bit more fun for the audience to watch because we're having more fun, but there's still drama for people who love that.
So is it just you that had more fun this season or is it cast wide?
I will say everybody on the cast has unanimously said they've had a lot more fun this year. Just the group of ladies, we all fought hard and loved hard. So there was just a really great dynamic and we were all here to come together and do a job and get to know each other. And it just kind of came together nicely. And at the end of the day, we didn't hate each other, which doesn't always happen. Usually there's a few people that you just don't talk to. At the end of the day, it's been a really, really fun experience.
Tiffany Moon is the new cast member, right?
Yes. And she's a doctor.
I know.
I think it's cool.
that's awesome. Obviously the new season hasn't aired, but first of all, let me just say this. My father is a doctor. Here's my perception of doctors. They are obviously very, very smart, but they very rarely get told no.
Uh-huh.
And when they do, they freak the fuck out. They love telling people what to do because that's what they do. Like they tell nurses, hey, like, yeah, I need this. So is she loved
Bossy?
Or hate? Yes. Who is Tiffany Moon?
You know, during a pandemic, because we were filming during the coronavirus, it was nice to have, you know, a medical professional. I will say that she is hard. She was harder to get to know because she can be very bossy. So I will say she was hard to get to know. It took me a while to really kind of figure out who she is. But I think she's really great for this show, regardless if she rubbed me the wrong way at times. I think the audience will like her. I like the fact that she is smart, professional. I like the fact that she is somebody who doesn't fit the cookie cutter mold, because a lot of housewives, including myself, you know, they're stay-at-home moms. I like the fact that Bravo brought in someone who works every day. I don't know how she did it, working 40 hours and then doing this as a second job. I would have lost my mind. She definitely can be bossy. Yes, absolutely. But we've had a lot of bossy girls on the show, so it's nothing new, I guess. But I truly do think the audience is going to really like her. I really, really do. But there are times whenever she annoys me.
Well, again, Real Housewives of Dallas, the new season is set to premiere Tuesday, January 5th, 9/8 Central on Bravo. It's not the only show that you're doing. Tell me about your weekly dose of BS, because I feel like I have a daily dose of BS.
So So one of my best friend on the show is Brandy, and we have a podcast called Weekly Dose of BS for Brandy Stephanie. And we've been doing it for, oh my goodness, about a year and a half. It's so much fun. It's kind of fun to do something with your best friend that's positive and that you can kind of roll. And it's great. It's every Thursday. We have a new episode at 10 o'clock.
So is it talking about Real Housewives or is it just talking about like other stuff? Like what's the premise?
I would say a little bit of Housewives, but mostly about our lives and, you know, how much our husbands annoy us and our children. We just kind of sit and talk about life in general, just all the things that people probably don't want to listen to. It's just truly a bunch of BS. So whatever, kind of whatever happens that week, but mostly it's kind of about what we have going on in life and just kind of making fun of things in our life, like parenting and having a family and our husbands and just everyday things. Sometimes the girls, but we try to keep it fair towards just making fun of ourselves.
Well, I can't tell you how excited I am for season 5 to come out. I guess my last question is Andy Cohen as cool as you think he is or like what's happening there?
Oh, he's cooler. He's cooler than you think he is. He's amazing. He's so nice. He's funny. Hardworking. He's a great father. Last time I was at Watch What Happens Live, during the break, he had his phone in his hand and he kept looking down and smiling. And then he showed me and he's sitting there with the nanny cam, looking at his son while he's working. He's a really beautiful person. Really, really is. I adore him.
That's awesome. No, I was invited to come on that show, but I was supposed to sit in the background and make drinks. And I was like, man, I don't know. I want to be a guest.
No, do it when you're sitting there. Be a guest.
Yeah.
Be a guest.
Is there anything else you want to talk about in terms of like promotion of like this season or your podcast or anything I didn't ask you about before we get into kind of the nuts and bolts of my show?
No, I'm good. I'm good. You did a great job.
Okay.
You're great. Thank you.
Quick break. When we come back, we're going to do the Wells Cast and we're going to find out where the hell Stephanie Holman came from and how the hell she got here. Stick around. You do not want to miss this.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back on the Wells Cast. Very excited to have one of the stars of Real Housewives of Dallas. Season 5 is going to be premiering January 5th, 9, 8 Central. Of course, on Bravo, we have Stephanie Holman on the show. I'm very excited. I always love to have reality stars on this show because your story is different than when I have the actor or the musician on the show. Because for those people, all they've ever done is like, I just want to be an actor. I just want to be a musician. And that's, and their story is interesting, but it's very like one-dimensional. Whereas reality TV people kind of bounce around. Their story is very, very off the wall and exciting. By the way, I feel like my producers never tell anyone what the hell this show is. This show is an origin story. I'm fascinated with how people who are successful became successful. So I like to hear kind of all the steps leading up to getting on to Real Housewives of Dallas. So, Stephanie Holman, where the hell are you from?
I am from a small town in Oklahoma called Coweta. It's a small farm town.
Were you, like, was your family farmers?
You know what they, my dad growing up was, we personally were not. I think my dad was sick of it by the time he got married. But a lot of my friends' family were farmers and like they would have to, you know, if their cow got out, they would miss school to, you know, find their animals. And it was a great way to grow up because it was very simple. And I don't think I ever really appreciated how I grew up until I moved to Dallas. And I realized like how pretty, how beautiful, simple things are in life.
So are you an only child? Did you have a bunch of siblings? What was childhood like?
I have a sibling. I have one sister. Her name's Tiffany. She's 2 years younger. She's a teacher. She recently moved to Dallas with her husband, and she teaches at my youngest son's school. She's a math teacher, which comes in handy whenever you're doing distance learning because I can just have my children call her and she takes over.
Are you going to get her on Real Housewives?
She's been on a few times. I try not to get her fired.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, I don't know if that's good for her career to be on a reality show.
Yeah.
So I try to, you know, make sure that the producers know that, hey, like she has to keep her job because if not, I'm going to feel guilty. It's hard, you know, they kind of get, you know, many people for the price of one. So you have to make sure you take care of the people that are there helping you out.
That's right. Okay. So it's you and your sister growing up in a small town in Oklahoma. What was like high school or middle school, Stephanie, like?
I was very, very shy. My parents divorced when I was younger, and I think it kind of made it to where I went into a very, very shy stage, probably up until college. I was horrible at sports. But I always had, I was always the kind of the person people went to whenever they had problems. I like talking about people's issues, which kind of works in the show because that's all you do, or talk to people about what's going on in their life. Very, very ordinary, shy girl. When I did the show, everyone in my hometown was shocked I would ever do this because I was very, very quiet growing up.
So you weren't an athlete. Were you like a cheerleader or like on the dance team?
I did pageants and sang growing up. but that's about it. I mean, I did drill team when I was, you know, like in junior high and cheerleading. But I'm so unathletic. Like I cannot even sway to the beat. I'm horrible. So I've never really been that person that's had a lot of talent. My sister was always the one that was great at every sport. And I was just horrible at everything. And my poor father really, really wanted like an athletic child. I was just not it for him. I was not it.
Okay. So you were shy, but you're doing pageants and your talent was singing. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yes.
Did you win any of these pageants?
Yeah, I did well. I did well. So I sang more opera style music, and nobody does that when they're young. So I did really, I usually did pretty well in the talent portion, and interview was always my worst because I would get so nervous. My voice would shake. This has been great for me because I don't really get nervous anymore for interviews or anything like that, which has been really nice. But yeah, I did pretty well. And I did it just to earn scholarship money, to be completely honest, for college. My parents weren't wealthy, and you can earn some money, kind of pay for your school a little bit.
So you got a scholarship. Where'd you go?
I went to Oklahoma State University and graduated with a psychology degree. OSU is in Stillwater, and it is a small town. So you get the, you know, a bigger college feel, but with small town feel. So it was really, it was nice. It was a great university. There wasn't a lot to do. So we just drank a whole lot, but it was great. It was a lot of fun.
Okay. So you get a psychology degree. Was like the idea to become like to work in the psychiatric field? Like what was the game plan?
So growing up, my mom was a social worker, and I used to go with my sister. Well, my parents divorced when I was in fourth grade, and my mom never really worked. So she, to provide for herself, she went back to college when I was in fourth grade, and she became a social worker. So my sister and I would go to work with her and do food baskets and babysit whenever she had therapy sessions. We babysit for like a quarter an hour. It was no money, but it taught us a little bit of work ethic. But I saw my mom help a lot of people growing up. So that's kind of what I wanted to do. And I went to work with her, and it just seemed like an organic thing to get into.
So you graduate with a degree in psychology.
Uh-huh.
What happens
and
next?
And then after that, I moved to Tulsa, and I work at a homeless pregnant shelter.
Oh, wow.
Called Madonna House. So it was my first job out of college. It was actually really hard because it was a place where women lived just during their pregnancies and usually a few months after. And, you know, a lot of the women are there. They have drug issues. So they are addicted to drugs. They're pregnant. And you're trying to get them to where they get great prenatal care, they get parenting classes, and they're able to get out on their own with a home and a job and a way to take care of themselves. So I did that. Honestly, up until I met my husband, I went from there, and then I worked at Head Start, which I don't know if you've heard of that. It's for lower income families, and it is where it helps teaches kids 0 through 3 years old, and it's just kind of makes it to where children and families see the value of education. So they're used to going to school. They get, you know, meals there. The families get help. So I would work with, I think I had 47 families on my caseload. And I would just make sure that they were getting proper food and everything that they need for their families, and that the children were in an educational environment. And a lot of times those parents have a hard time finding work because they have their children all day. So this kind of gives them a place to put their children where the children are being enriched, and they can go and try to also make a better life for themselves.
You're like the Mother Teresa of reality TV.
No, it was a great job. I met my husband doing that. And it's something I honestly really, really miss. It was rewarding. It was very rewarding.
So you meet Travis on the job, saving the world. Was it love at first sight? Did you know immediately? What was that like?
So I met Travis through a mutual friend who lived in Dallas, and they had dinner plans, just friends, by the way. And I went to dinner with her and him, and I drank a little too much wine. We ended up kissing that night. And I don't know, I say it was drunk love at first sight, and it just kind of worked. The next day we got together for lunch, and I went back to Tulsa, and he either drove to Tulsa or I drove to Dallas every weekend. And then he proposed about 6 months later.
Wow. So you guys were doing long distance for almost half a year.
Yes. Yeah. So we did that. I don't know. He wanted me to move here, to move to Dallas whenever we were dating, but I didn't want to do that because I kind of given up my life before and moved in with a guy, or, you know, I didn't want to resent him, and I liked my job. I liked my friends, and I didn't want to give up everything and move to Dallas for a boy. But I did, after we got engaged, I was like, okay, now I kind of have to move But yeah, and now I tell all the girls, like, if you want someone to marry you, just don't live with them. Like, just do long distance because it's so annoying for the boy.
It's true. That's what Sarah and I did. We did long distance for about a year, and it just became too expensive. And I said, okay, well, I got to move to LA now. I can't live in Nashville anymore.
Yeah, it's hard.
You moved to Dallas. How long until the show approaches you?
So I moved to Dallas, and I am not doing any of my social service work because I want, you know, we're starting a family. So I start doing charity work for a domestic violence agency. And the show at the time, we did not know we were housewives. So they were looking for people, I believe, for a charity show because every single one of us was affiliated with certain charities. So I got approached literally because of the charity work I did. And there was no name for the show. There was no, I mean, I didn't even really know what the show was about. I just was a really bored mother of two. And my best friend and I were auditioning for something. And you kind of lose yourself sometimes as a mom. And I felt like I just kind of lost myself. And I wanted to have some fun. And I auditioned kind of as a joke. And my best friend who's on the show as well, like, we were silly and goofy. And I think the fact that we didn't think it was for real is the only reason we made it, because we had fun with it. And sometimes you get in your head a little bit with, you know, probably auditions and things that you really want. So I'm grateful that I had no idea what I was getting into, because I don't think I'd be here if I did.
It's so funny you say that. That's exactly what happened to me. So I used to have a radio show in Nashville, and I would do a bit where I would go audition for commercials. I intentionally didn't want the commercial. I just wanted the bit of my co-host being like, so what audition is it today? And I would say, oh, it's for Meow Mix. And they'd be like, okay, what's the line? And so we'd read the lines on air, and then I would go and I'd bomb intentionally and then not get the part and then be inconsolable the next day. And it was just like one stupid long bit. And then when The Bachelor came along, I was like, this will be so funny. I'll get to see how this all works and I'll bomb it. Now I will be too douchey for a show full of douches. And come to find out, not the case. Just the right amount of douche.
Oh my God. Isn't that the way it is, though? Whenever you really want something,
yeah,
sometimes it's like you read that you want it too much. And when you don't, they're like, who is this fool? I need you.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we are very similar. You booked this show. What does your husband think of this? If I was in your shoes, or if I was in his shoes, I'd be like, wait, what? You're doing, what's up? Wait, am I on it too? Like, what is his thoughts?
Okay, so a lot of people don't know this, but before my husband and I met, he did some stuff in the television industry. So he did, he executive produced a movie with Faye Dunaway called Rain, with Faye Dunaway and Robert Loggia. And then he partnered with Mark Burnett on an MTV show called Bully Beatdown for, I think, 2 or 3 years it was on. So he had kind of done stuff in the past in the TV realm. And he really told me up until it aired, it's never going to air. These things never, like, even if they get greenlit, they never see the light of day. So until it aired, I believed him. I was like, oh, this thing's never going to happen. We're just doing this. It's silly and goofy, but he's really supportive. He also does not care what anybody thinks of him, which is really nice to have on a show like this, because if you have a husband who really truly cares, and gets their feelings hurt easily, I think it could be hard on your marriage. But he does not care. Like, people can say anything they want. He's like, I don't know him. I don't care. You know, it's kind of nice.
And what about your kids? How are they taking all this?
Well, now they're old enough to where people that watch this show, probably my kids are probably on the least of most of the girls. I always give them a choice. I'm home from school and they're in a really bad mood and they've had a hard day. I'm not going to say, put a mic on and, you know, a camera in front of your face and let's do this. I think that's kind of setting your kids up for failure. So they always have a choice. Now they have a day rate. I pay them.
Are they making scale?
They have a day rate that they charge me. So I say, would you like to work today? And now they're at a point where they want to make money. So they'll do it. But you know, it's funny. I'm like, if I'm getting paid, they should get paid, right? They have a little rate. They always try to renegotiate if it's a long day. But it's fair. It's fair enough. I mean, they're smart. Like, even, you know, paid posts on Instagram, if they're a part of it, they're like, Mom, what are you going to pay us?
Yeah.
It's very funny. Yeah. They're smart. They're smart kids. There's some perks that go along with it. I mean, when you're a kid and, you know, NBC is really great. Like, they'll invite us to LA, and they got to go to like a little Ninja Warrior and Top Chef Junior event, and they felt so cool. So it's nice that they throw little things in for the children to where they feel special and, like, you know, and they don't resent you for having the job, which is something I never want. Whenever, every year when I get asked back, it's something we decide on as a family.
My fiance is a recipient of actually two kidney transplants. I read somewhere that you did a bone marrow transplant. Is that true?
Yes, that's correct. My friend's daughter, when Chance was three, so a long time ago, about 6 years ago, her daughter had cancer, and I went to a fun run and did a swab for bone marrow, and I got called, oh my goodness, like, I think it was 3 years ago, and there was a 42-year-old woman that I've not met who had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I was her sole 10 out of 10 match in the world. So I was able to go in and donate my bone marrow to her, and it was a really cool experience.
Jesus Christ, you're a good person. What's the worst thing you've ever done? Have you done anything bad?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, I stole candy when I was little from a grocery store.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes I'm, you know, sassy and drunk and, you know, rude to my husband. I don't know. I feel like I try to live a good life. I mean, nobody's perfect and we all make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, you just own up to them and apologize and then move forward. And that's how you grow as a person.
Well, Stephanie, this has been an absolute blast getting to know you and talking to you. I'm really excited for season 5, Real Housewives of Dallas, premieres January 5th, Bravo 9, 8 Central. Before I let you go, number one, is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about or promote?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you so much.
And lastly, do you have time for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. Rapid fire questions with Stephanie Holman from Real Housewives of Dallas. What is your favorite pizza topping?
Pepperoni.
Do you have a favorite book?
Oh my goodness. I'm trying to think. My favorite book, Me Before You.
Who was your first kiss?
A guy that I worked at Homeland with. His name is Richard.
What was the first concert you ever went to?
New Kids on the Block.
Do you remember what your first car was?
A Mitsubishi Eclipse.
Who's the most famous person in your phone?
Andy Cohen.
That's pretty good. What was your first record, cassette, or CD that you bought?
I want to say Boyz II Men.
Do you have a favorite flower?
Ooh, I love peonies.
Do you have a favorite superhero?
Ooh, Iron Man.
What's one thing that's always in your fridge?
Cheese.
One thing on your bucket list?
Oh my goodness. I want to go to Bora Bora.
What animal do you wish you could talk to?
My dog, Biscuit.
What physical trait do you notice first about someone you're attracted to?
Their smile.
Do you believe in soulmates?
Absolutely. Yes.
How would you describe your high school self?
Shy and insecure.
Do you have a celebrity crush?
Ooh, Ryan Reynolds.
And who is your favorite person on Real Housewives of Dallas?
Randy Redmond.
Stephanie Holman, thank you so much for being on the Wellscast. You are an absolute delight. You are a wonderful person. Thank you for taking the time. And yeah, good luck with everything going forward.
Thank you. Same to you. It was so nice to meet you.
You as well. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, she's just the sweetest freaking thing in the world. Normally, reality TV people are just pieces of shit wrapped in bullshit, you know? And hey, but no judgment. I am one of those people. But she's like a genuinely wonderful person. Oh yeah, I just gave some bone marrow to someone I didn't really even know, but I was like their only match, so I just saved their life, whatever. Oh yeah, my first job out of college was at the Madonna House, just, you know, helping women who are victims of domestic violence. Yeah, my second job, you know, in Dallas, I was doing this charity thing and just saving lives, whatever, you know. Jeez, Stephanie is an absolute delight. All right. I'm going to go do more shopping and try to figure out something to get Sarah because I don't know. Guys, if you have any suggestions, tweet to me at Wells Adams. You know, whatever you got. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All that stuff. I hope all your Christmas wishes and dreams come true. I hope all 8 gifts you get for Hanukkah are amazing. I don't know what Kwanzaa does, but I hope that's badass for you too. Whatever. Guys, enjoy the holidays. Be safe out there. We're almost done with this pandemic. I believe it in my soul. I hope so. I love you all so much. And I'm going to go, I don't know, try to be a better person because I feel like a piece of crap after talking to Stephanie Holman. All right. By the way, rate and review the show. If you can, it helps for whatever reason, push the show up in popularity. Tell your friends about it if you dig on it. And if you got any suggestions of future guests you want on, tweet to us at Wells Adams or over at the Instagram account, which is Wellscast Podcast. Okay? Okay, bye!
Subscribe to Wellscast on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts. It's the internet.
Hey, if you're still looking for some fun holiday gift ideas, we had some amazing vendors in our holiday gift boxes that we sent out for iHeartRadio's Jingle Ball, and they make some great last-minute gift ideas, like Card Sharks the Game. Just like the hit ABC TV game show, you can now play Card Sharks at home with the official Card Sharks board game from Endless Games. All of the fun of guesstimating answers to quirky questions and higher or lower card guesses. Play solo or in teams with family and friends. Get Card Sharks now at Barnes & Noble, Kohl's, or Amazon.com. Teleties, holiday-themed hair ties. They are the modern scrunchies and the perfect stocking stuffer. Shop now at Teleties.com. Diddy Reese cookies are an L.A. staple and maybe the best cookies you've ever had. There's always a line outside Diddy Reese. Order delivery at DiddyReese.com. Hey, I know you've been getting sick of the masks you've been wearing for months now. Well, Dancing with the Stars pro Cheryl Burke and clothing company Bailey Blue created a line of fashionable and comfortable face masks. All 12 unique styles are available at BaileyBlueClothing.com. Looking for a holiday dress or a gift for someone special? Make Francesca's your holiday shopping destination. With new styles and deals daily, you'll always find something you love at a price you'll love. There's still time. Shop online at Francesca's.com, at your local boutique, or in their all-new app. You can count on Francesca's. You'll find something for everyone. This year was all about music for the world's most fashionable dolls, LOL Surprise, from the Remix Music line to their own music album. They are extra, they are fierce, and they're the hottest dolls on kids' holiday lists this year. LOLSurprise.com to check them out. Enchant Christmas is where everyone can make magical Christmas memories, whether that be unique gifts through the Enchant Shop or the ability to transform yourself into Santa and make real-life video calls through their Santa Calls app. EnchantChristmas.com. Randy's Donuts, an LA legend, is offering ugly Christmas sweater donuts topped with green and red frosting and festive holiday sprinkles, available at all locations for the entire month of December. They're the perfect dessert ensemble to help us all get into the holiday spirit. Visit randysdonuts.com for locations or follow them on Instagram at randysdonuts. Also, did you see our cool Instagram video singing to Jingle Bells benefiting Children's Hospital LA? Help donate to CHLA this holiday season. Visit chla.org/high-five today. You can also click the link in our Instagram bio.
A new season of Bridgerton is here, and with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix, then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, this is Paris Hilton. Trapped in Treatment is back, and this season we're taking on WASP, the Worldwide Association of Specialty Programs and Schools.
They held us in dog cages. They starved us. They beat us.
He was trying to brand us. So we were going to become the McDonald's of kid treatment.
Join my hosts as they unravel the story of the largest and most shocking organization in the history of the troubled teen industry. Listen to season 2 of Trapped in Treatment on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.